Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. Hey, this is Shane Vanderhart, and Brian is back in studio.
Yay!
He's back!
We've missed you, Brian. We've missed you.
Well, where have you been, Brian?
Mostly Wyoming and also then some in Kansas.
For work, right?
For work.
Your priorities are all screwed up, man.
Hey, trust me, pal. I would have much rather been back here, but I'm home.
Good. Well, I'm glad to have you back, and I tried to keep the wheels on the bus as best as I could, and we didn't have a breakdown, and Ron pitched in and helped out, and, you know, anyway, it was good. It's good. So.
It was good? It was good to have me gone? Is that what you're telling me?
Oh,
is that what I'm hearing? I'm hurt, buddy. I'm cut to the quick.
I'm sorry.
But you see, it's excellent now that you're back. It was only good when you were gone.
Yes. Everything's all good. It's all good. But now it's great.
Oh, dear.
So.
Moving on.
He's not buying it.
You're right.
So, how are your Cyclones doing, by the way?
Brian is just more or less hoping that the football season will be over soon. And I suppose you got Hawkeye fever, don't you?
I do. You know what? I have to admit
7-0.
I never would have thought the Hawkeyes would be 7-0 at this point, and they just had they were impressive against Northwestern last weekend. That was just wow.
Do we have to talk football? Let's talk basketball.
Can we just write off football season?
Well, that's kind of the way I'm feeling right now, yes.
Right. Well, we have a special guest on the line.
I bet he has an opinion about football,
probably about football.
Too.
I'm sure he does. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal is also a Republican candidate for president. And you probably like those Tigers, don't you?
Shane, Brian, it's great to be with you. I absolutely love those Tigers. We are undefeated right now. I don't want to rub it in, so I know we're called to be humble, but they are undefeated. They've got an amazing player in Leonard Fournette. So it has been a lot of fun to be a Tiger fan this season.
Yeah. Well, welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, even if you are an LSU fan.
Right. I kind of remember a Capital One Bowl where Iowa, you know, beat LSU at the like last few seconds remaining.
That was beautiful. Nobody in Iowa ever reminds me of that. It's amazing. You know? I've heard about the catch a couple of times. I'll admit,
I'm sure
it was. You know, it was, and making it an even worse day. It was just an awful day for LSU fans. And congratulations to Iowa. I mean, obviously, you know, I know it's one of those just amazing. I know because we've had last second victories against other teams, and you just relive and remember those moments forever. To make it even, you know, to add insult to injury, that was the day, that game. Was the last game that Coach Saban coached the Tigers. He had announced shortly before the bowl game that
right.
he was leaving. And so, yeah, there was a sense of just despair, maybe too strong of a word, but the Tiger Nation was kind of upset already. And then it was, you know, it was just an awful, if y'all remember, the field was in awful shape, so it wasn't a real pretty day. But anyway, congratulations.
Yeah, it was a field. That's it.
No excuses. Congratulations. It was the amazing catch. And again, I've had a few fans remind me of that in my days in Iowa.
Great. Well, you've been going around Iowa a lot, and you have this week. I saw you a little bit at Berean Assembly of God on Wednesday in Pleasant Hill, and then to on Friday morning. We're actually recording Friday, but we play this Saturday. You're at Faith Baptist Bible College. So I wanted to ask you, can you talk to us, you know, we're a Christian radio station, we like hearing about candidates' faith journey. Could you talk to us a little bit about your faith journey?
Sure. You know, I was more than happy to share my testimony on both those occasions. I was not one of those overnight conversions. It took me 7 long years. And the important takeaway that I want to share with folks is there were people that planted seeds of the gospel in my life. I've always believed in God, but when I was a child, I treated God like Santa Claus. You know, we'd ask for things, we'd get things, and wasn't real much of a faith life. I had a best friend that gave me a Bible as a Christmas present when I didn't want it. And I didn't really want the Bible. He was smart. He had my name printed on it, so he knew I couldn't give it away or return it, which was smart. My grandfather died. It was the first time somebody I loved died. made me really think about heaven, about how do you get into heaven, what happens after this life. And I wish I could have told you I just read that Bible and it was obvious to me, but it took some time. And it culminated, really, I was at a non-denominational church called Chapel on the Campus, watching my friend sing in this musical. In the middle of it, they showed this black and white film, this movie. And when I saw the actor playing Jesus on the cross, it just hit me. And I don't know why God chose that moment, but he hit me harder than I've ever been hit before. And it just hit me that if that's the Son of God and he's dying for me, meaning Bobby Jindal, not everybody, I mean, it was personal. It was, he's up there because of my sins. It wasn't some generic salvation. If he's up there because of my sins, how arrogant for me to do anything but get on my knees and worship him. The youth pastor did an altar call and said, look, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we want to get to know you better. And so I contacted him and I filled out one of those cards and we started reading scripture together and praying together. And, you know, the most important moment in my life is the moment that I found Jesus Christ, the moment that he found me. But the lesson I hope that folks at both those settings heard was that as Christians, we're called to be salt and light. By planting a seed, you can change somebody's life for all of eternity. There were people that changed my life. It took 7 years. There were people that gave up along the way. But I wouldn't be talking to you today as a Christian if there hadn't been people brave enough to be persistent to plant those seeds. We're all called to do that wherever we are in our lives.
Great. So how does your worldview impact your governing?
Well, you know, first, and I think that I don't understand how folks can make big life-changing decisions. My wife and I, when we make those decisions, we do that not only as a family, we do that in prayer, and that's how we approach life. I also, in addition to starting and ending our days in prayer, when you think about many of the big issues confronting us today, my faith is a foundational reason that I'm pro-life, is a foundational reason that I believe that marriage was created by God, is between a man and a woman, and can't be changed by an earthly court. It's one of the reasons I'm fighting so hard for religious liberty. When you look at some of the issues we confront today, we've got the left trying to take God out of the public square, and you see it, the assault on Christian musicians, caterers, clerks. As believers, we see our values under assault in America, and we need somebody who will be unafraid, unembarrassed, unashamed to stand up and fight for those values. So it influences who I am and how I approach my life. And then finally, look, the best example of leadership is Jesus' example of servant leadership, of humbly seeking to serve others. I think we need more of that in our leaders. None of us as his followers, none of us as Christians will ever be perfect, but what we can do is try hard to emulate with his grace, his example, and model our lives after the leadership, the example that he gave us.
Governor Jindal, you have been a champion for religious liberty throughout the last year or two of this campaign. If I can say it lasted that long, that's probably not correct, but certainly, I've heard you speak passionately about that subject more than once. I'm curious how your Christian faith fits into the context of Christian liberty. And what I mean by that is, religious liberty. What I mean by that is, how do you, as a governor, and then certainly in pursuing the office of the presidency, how do you approach the issue of religious liberty in comparison with Christianity and Islam? In other words, are you prepared to put Sharia law on the same playing field, if you will? Will they be a level playing field between Sharia law and the Ten Commandments?
No. And the reason I say that is that we give freedoms to folks, and we don't discriminate. America doesn't discriminate against anybody based on the color of their skin or the content of their beliefs, but we don't allow people to use freedoms to undermine freedoms for other people. And so in Louisiana, we've actually passed specific legislation against Sharia law. The reality is there's nothing wrong with saying to folks, if you want to come to America, you should assimilate, you should adopt our values, learn our language. Nothing wrong in saying you can't treat women like second-class citizens, and you can't use freedoms to undermine other people's freedoms. And that's some of what you see going on in Europe. As a Christian, I believe in religious liberty for everybody, even those that disagree with my beliefs, and I would want people who aren't Christians to fight for my religious liberty rights, but that doesn't mean that under the guise of religious liberty, we've got to allow people to undermine freedoms for other people. I don't think it's any coincidence. It tends to be evangelical Christians whose beliefs are being discriminated against. Time and time again, it's the Christian who wants to have a catering shop or a bakery, who doesn't want to participate in a gay wedding that violates their religious beliefs, those are the folks that are facing discrimination today. It's Christian charities that are leaving certain states because they don't want to violate their sincerely held beliefs. I think we're a poor society because of it. So I would fight for religious liberty for all, even those who have beliefs different from mine. But that does not mean that we have to give folks freedoms to undermine other people's freedoms.
You've been pretty outspoken about your disappointment with the GOP leadership in Washington, D.C. What are your thoughts about Paul Ryan's potential speakership?
You know, look, I like Paul. I served with Paul. He's a smart guy. He's a very intellectual guy, principled guy. Here's the question I would ask for anybody who wants to be in leadership, whether it's Paul or anybody else. What I want is a firm commitment. If I were still in that Republican conference, I'd want them to look us in the eyes, the other members, and say, I'm willing to fight for conservative beliefs just as hard as Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid fought for their beliefs, whether it be Obamacare or amnesty or whatever they fought for. I'm going to go and fight to stop amnesty and Obamacare. I'm going to go and fight to get rid of this bad Iran deal and defund Planned Parenthood. And we're not going to continue to give up. We're not going to continue to be a party that is held captive by special interests or the big business lobbyists. Any leader, anybody that wants to be a leader in the conference has to be willing to fight for us. My frustration, it's not about personalities. There are a lot of nice people that are aspiring to be in leadership, and that's great. But it's not about personalities. It's about, at this important time in our country's history, the voters have done their jobs. They've given the Republicans majorities in the House and the Senate, and nothing has seemed to change. We've got a surrender caucus. They give up instead of fighting. The other side is willing to push socialism down our throats. I just want my side to fight just as hard for freedom and for America. So those are the questions I'd ask in conference, and those would be the commitments I'd want to get in conference. You know, I said this after Boehner stepped down. People asked me what I thought. I said, look, that's great. If McConnell doesn't want to fight for our beliefs, he needs to follow Boehner's lead and make room for the next generation of conservative leaders that will fight for us.
You're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we have Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal on the line, and he is going to be speaking at our Caffeinated Thoughts briefing next weekend on the 31st. Check out ctbriefing2015.com. Have you been able to pay attention, that's not the right word, probably. Have you been following the Benghazi hearing that, you know, the 10-hour hearing that happened yesterday?
It was 11, wasn't it?
11 hour? Yeah. Okay, wow, that's even worse.
Well, a couple of things. Well, I was in Iowa all day doing town hall, so I wasn't in front of my TV, and I know some folks may have been watching this on the cable news, but two takeaways. One, and I saw some of the news coverage, but no, I didn't watch it live. I was, again, in Iowa doing these different town halls. A couple of takeaways. One, we need to always remember, you know, despite all the distractions and the noise in the background, we need to always remember what's at the center of this, which is four Americans died. We need to find out why that happened, make sure that doesn't happen again, and make sure that there's accountability for that. And that's by far the most important issue here. Then secondly, the one thing that's obvious to me out of this, all of this, is that the only thing that Hillary Clinton has ever run has been this president's failed foreign policy. I mean, you look all over the world, leading from behind hasn't worked. This idea that we were going to just allow, you know, Putin to go into Ukraine, and now he's in Syria working with Iran and Hezbollah and Assad. China is asserting itself in the South China Sea. ISIS is in the Middle East, in Iraq, in Syria. Hillary has been at the center of that. She was at the center of the reset with Russia, with Putin. The only thing she has run is his failed foreign policy. We have got a first-term senator in the White House who never run anything. We can't afford four more years of on-the-job training. She should not be our next president, our next commander-in-chief. Look, we can't afford four more years of these awful policies of this inexperience.
We have about 3 minutes left, so I want to ask you about your tax policy. I had a chance to talk with Senator Santorum, and he thought that your policy would lead to a greater deficit. So I want to give you a chance to respond to that, as well as I've heard you say that with the tax brackets you have in your tax policy, 2%, 10%, 25%, you said the 2% bracket is the most important one.
Absolutely. So look, my tax plan, and folks can go to BobbyJindal.com and see the details. Like a lot of Republican plans, it gets rid of the death tax, the marriage penalty. It simplifies the tax code, and it gets the IRS out of our lives. The three things that it does differently. One, you hit this already. It is 25, 10, and 2%. So that means a middle-class couple that pays 25% today would pay 10% under this plan. But that 2% is the most important. Unlike other folks' plans, and Jeb and Trump are a couple of examples, they have millions of Americans not paying any taxes. I think that's a mistake. I think everybody should pay something. I think we're all in this together. We have $18 trillion of debt. I want every American paying attention to how they're spending our money in D.C. I don't think it's healthy when you have one group of Americans paying taxes, another group of Americans that are then becoming dependent on government. Earned success is so much more important and fulfilling than unearned success. So I think everybody should have skin in the game. The 2% doesn't raise a lot of money, but I think it's an important, important part of the plan. Secondly, we get rid of the corporate tax. We get rid of the corporate welfare. Look, the big companies hire lobbyists. They don't pay their taxes anyway. I want their investment, their jobs here. And I don't want to keep burdening small businesses. We have the highest tax rate in the developed world. We need to grow the American economy, not the government economy. Under my plan, we would grow the economy 14%, grow wages 9%, add 6 million jobs. Third and finally, we absolutely intentionally cut government spending. And that's not on accident. Look, we've got to cut government spending. We've got to shrink the government economy so we grow the American economy.
And we're talking about real cuts here, not just reductions in the rate of growth.
And we got 1 minute left. Just FYI.
Absolutely. Look, the D.C. folks, they talk about slowing the growth rate. That's not a real cut. I'm the only candidate running for president that's actually cut government spending. We've cut our budget 26%, 30,000 fewer state bureaucrats. If we don't do that in D.C., none of these senators have ever cut anything. We've got to cut government before it drowns us all.
So, just quick elevator speech. Why should Iowans vote for you?
Look, I'm the one candidate who's not just a talker. I'm a doer. We're the only candidate that's cut our budget. First one to take on Planned Parenthood. Most pro-life states 6 years in a row. We need somebody to fight for us. The idea of America is slipping away. Let's elect somebody who's a doer, not a talker. It will get the job done. That's Bobby Jindal.
All right. Thank you, Governor.
Thanks for coming on, Governor.
This is Caffeinated Thoughts.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
Welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Riswold of Modern Woodmen of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029, and he can help you find the life insurance
you need.
So, that was just awesome, that unison we had there. That gave me tingles. So, anyway. Yeah. We have a very special guest on the line, Senator Ted Cruz, who's running for president. Why anyone would want to run for president, I don't know, and we'll ask him that. But welcome, Senator Cruz, to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Well, gentlemen, thank you. It's great to be with you. Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. So, why run?
Well, look, the reason is simple, which is that our country is in crisis. What is happening right now in America, I think every one of us is concerned about the country that our kids are inheriting. We are bankrupting our kids and grandkids. We're seeing our constitutional rights under assault each and every day. And America has receded from leadership in the world, and it has created a vacuum and made the world a much more dangerous place. And I think this next election is now or never, that we either pull back from the brink, we pull back from the precipice, or we risk losing the greatest country in the history of the world. And so the reason I'm running is to fight to get back to the common sense principles, the free market principles, and the constitutional liberties that made America great.
One question I like asking candidates is just to kind of explain your worldview. What are some of the, what What hill would you die on, basically? Talk a little bit also about your faith in Christ.
Well, sure. Let's start with just principles and what drew me into the political world. It was really two things. One, it was as a teenager in high school, I got very involved with a free market group in Texas called the Free Enterprise Institute, that took high school students and had us study free market economics and read Milton Friedman and Hayek and von Mises and Bastiat and study the Constitution. And we spent hundreds of hours studying the Constitution and even memorizing the Constitution in shortened mnemonic form.
Mm-hmm.
And then I toured the state of Texas along with four other high school kids speaking about the Constitution and also speaking about free market economics. And from when I was a teenager, it really became my passion in life to fight to defend the Constitution and to fight to defend free market principles, because that's what has made America such an oasis of opportunity. That's what's made America a land that people from all over the world come to, because there's no other country on earth where you can so easily start with nothing and achieve anything. So that, in terms of principles, are my core principles. Now I'll mention in terms of why it matters, I think a great deal of that has to do with my family story.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically, my father was born in Cuba and grew up in Cuba and was imprisoned and tortured during the Cuban Revolution. And he came to America in 1957 with nothing, with $100 sewn into his underwear. And he washed dishes making 50 cents an hour, trying very much to live that American dream. And he paid his way through college. He and my mom went on to start a small business together. And today my dad is a pastor. He travels the country preaching the gospel. And that, you know, when I was a kid, my father would say to me over and over again, when we face depression in Cuba, I had a place to flee to.
Mm-hmm.
If we lose our freedom here, where do we go? And that more than anything explains why I ran for office, why I'm running for president, because it is an incredible blessing to be the child of an immigrant who fled oppression, because it makes you realize just how fragile and precious freedom is.
Right. So how does your faith impact you? Because your dad's a pastor, and I know you're a follower of Christ.
Sure. My faith is integral to who I am. And, you know, my faith journey really starts when I was a young child. When I was 3 years old, my parents were living up in Calgary. We're working in the oil and gas business. And neither of my parents were believers. And both of them had drinking problems. And my father didn't want to be before. And he left my mother and me. He went down to Houston. And he had left us both. And thankfully, a colleague, a business colleague in Houston, invited him to a Bible study. And he met a local pastor there who led him to the Lord. And becoming a Christian transformed my father's life. He went, got in his car, drove to the airport, bought a plane ticket and flew back to my mother and me. And so, you know, it was an incredible thing. The pastor that led my dad to the Lord is a man named Galen Wiley. He was the pastor at Clay Road Baptist Church in Houston. And he subsequently, I became a Christian when I was 8 years old, and Brother Wiley baptized me when I was eight, and I grew up in the church. But
that's a great story.
A couple of months ago, on the campaign trail out in Tennessee, it so happened that Galen Wiley has retired now. He's living in Tennessee. I haven't seen him in 35 years, since I was 10 years old. And he came to a rally, and I got to tell you, it choked me up pretty powerfully to have the opportunity to see Brother Wiley again and just to hug and embrace him and thank him. If he had not led my father to the Lord, I would have been raised by a single mom, and every aspect of my life would have been different not knowing Jesus. And it's an incredible testament to the power any one of us sharing the gospel and introducing so someone to the good news can transform not only their lives, but their families and generations to come.
And the wonderful providence of God and all that. It's fantastic.
I just want to, you're listening to Senator Ted Cruz, and this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Senator, I just wanted to ask you about Kate's Law. It was originally blocked in the Senate, and you have just recently reintroduced it as a standalone bill. Can you explain to our listeners what that bill does and what kind of support or lack of support are you getting from your colleagues?
Well, Kate's Law is the legislation that I've introduced in the Senate, and it is named for Kate Steinle, that beautiful young lady who was murdered in San Francisco just a few months ago, was murdered, it appears, by an illegal alien who had repeatedly entered this country illegally. He had a long rap sheet, a repeated history of criminal offenses, and yet he kept being released over and over and over again. And he came to San Francisco because San Francisco is a sanctuary city. Its mayor, its city council, they welcome illegal immigrants. They defy federal immigration law. And because of those policies, Kate Steinle is not with us anymore, you know, and what Kate's Law does is it provides that for any illegal alien who is apprehended with illegal reentry, if they are an aggravated felon, if they're someone like the murderer of Kate Steinle, that they get a mandatory minimum of 5 years in prison. And it is legislation that I've been fighting for. I've been fighting for in the Judiciary Committee, fighting for in the Senate. This past week, the Senate voted on both Kate's Law and on defunding sanctuary cities. Unfortunately, the Democrats voted straight party line to stand with the criminal illegal aliens, to stand with the jurisdictions that are actively frustrating our federal immigration laws. So as you mentioned, I've reintroduced it just as a single standalone bill, and I'm pressing for the Senate to take it up and vote on it on its own and hopefully to pass it. And if the Democrats continue to block it, I've been pressing Republican leadership to attach it to must-pass legislation that has got to pass, because I think we need real leadership to protect our citizens whose lives and safety are at risk from illegal aliens with serious criminal histories. And this is something that sadly we deal with quite a bit in the state of Texas as well. We need leadership in the federal government to stop it.
Senator Cruz, you mentioned a moment ago leadership, and obviously we've got some interesting developments over in the House. And could you maybe give us your thoughts on Representative Ryan possibly becoming the Speaker?
Oh, sure. These are interesting times, to be sure. I like Paul Ryan. He is a friend. I have very deliberately stayed out of the Speaker decision. The leadership decisions are decisions for the House to make, and it's not my place to stick my nose in it, and so I haven't. But what I have urged members of the House to do is that the next Speaker should be someone who is committed to actually following through on the promises we made to the men and women who elected us. The reason John Boehner is stepping down is because people are frustrated out of their minds with Republican leadership that doesn't stand and fight Obama. They don't stand and fight for anything other than they fight conservatives and join with Harry Reid to try to fund Obama's big government policies. And this is why there is a volcanic rage across this country, that everyone, the people we elect, they say one thing and they don't do what they said. It is my hope, whoever the next Speaker of the House is, that he or she will put as their first priority, we're going to honor the promises we made to the men and women who elected us.
Were you able to watch any of the Benghazi hearings yesterday?
You know, I'll confess, I didn't watch the hearings. I'm reviewing some of the summaries of what happened, but I was in hearings of my own and was on the road the entire day, so was not able to spend 10 hours by the television, and I will confess, I'm not sure my constitution could endure watching Hillary Clinton testify.
I can totally understand that. So In terms of,
I'm quite sure I haven't led a wicked enough life to deserve that.
So, what are you hoping will happen out of these hearings, and what's going on in the Senate in that regard?
Well, what should be happening in the hearings, and what I hope is happening in the hearings, is that we get to the bottom of what happened. Four Americans were murdered in a terrorist attack that the federal government failed to prevent. And for 3 years now, the Obama administration, President Obama, Secretary Clinton, have been stonewalling, have been blocking answers to some of the most basic questions. To this day, we still don't know what President Obama was doing while four Americans were under attack, if he was asleep, if he was watching football. We know that he was not in communication with the Secretary of Defense, because the Secretary of Defense told the Armed Services Committee that he was up the entire night. The chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff was up the entire night dealing with the situation, trying to protect those four Americans. And when asked, did you speak with President Obama? They both said, nope, we didn't speak with him at all. Did you speak with Secretary Clinton? Nope, we didn't speak with her at all. And I think with the hearings, are all about getting to the bottom of what happened, why we didn't keep those Americans safe, why we didn't go do more to get in and save their lives, and then why the administration deliberately spread a false explanation. They blamed this attack on some silly internet video.
Absolutely.
The Secretary of Defense told us that he knew that night it was a radical Islamic terrorist attack. And yet, that was not what was coming out of the mouths of the White House, of the State Department. And when you have elected officials that are deliberately misleading the American people, that is a serious dereliction of duty.
We just have a little bit of time left, a couple things we've noticed is that you are now running third in the latest Iowa poll. You've got county leadership in every 99 all of Iowa's 99 counties. How do you know, why should Iowans support you?
Less than a minute left, Senator.
Yep, your elevator speech.
Well, look, I am tremendously encouraged by the support we're seeing on the ground in Iowa. Friday and Saturday, we're traveling all across the state doing town halls. And I think the reason so many Iowans are coming behind us is conservatives are united. They're tired of campaign conservatives, people who talk a good game on the trail, and they're looking for a consistent conservative, someone who's been the same yesterday, today and tomorrow, someone who is a fiscal conservative and a social conservative and a national security conservative. And our support is from the grassroots, and we're so grateful. Learn more at tedcruz.org.
Great.
Tedcruz.org.
Thank you, Senator. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141. Again, that's 515-292-7141, or go to crosswalkcounseling.org. Now we're coming to our news rundown and got a lot of news that's happened this week.
We do. Hopefully we can get through these subjects and do them some justice. Let's start off with Benghazi.
Yeah, which we've talked a little bit with, about with Senator Cruz and Governor Jindal. I just want to play a quick clip. This is Congressman Trey Gowdy, who's the chair of the House Select Committee on Benghazi, basically his opening remarks.
Not a single member of this committee signed up to investigate you or your email. We signed up to investigate and therefore honor the lives of four people that we sent into a dangerous country to represent us and to do everything we can to prevent it from happening to others. Our committee has interviewed 50 witnesses. Not a single one of them has been named Clinton until today. You were the Secretary of State for this country at all relevant times. So, of course, the committee is going to want to talk to you.
Talk to you. Yeah, sorry, we got that cut off there. And that was actually, I pulled that from a longer clip where he was excoriating Senator Clinton because former Secretary of State Clinton, but she's, and now candidate Clinton, she's saying this is, it's the right wing out to get me,
mm-hmm.
The far right wing, kind of, that's the same card they always pull out. You're politicizing this.
Yes,
you're a presidential candidate, but hello, you were Secretary of State during that time. Of course, like Congressman Gowdy said, of course you're going to be brought before the committee.
I agree with you, buddy, but Kevin McCarthy really, really set the table for the Democrats on this one.
True.
I mean, it cast all kinds of doubt in the minds of the average American person who hasn't been paying a lot of attention that maybe what Mrs. Clinton is saying is true, is this is just a big political witch hunt. It's not, of course, but McCarthy really stepped in it.
He did, and which is part of the reason why he pulled out of the speakership race, but...
Well, look, here's the other thing. The facts in the hearing became very clear. If you had any doubts at all, they knew this was a terrorist attack in Benghazi from the word go.
Right.
The administration knew it. Mrs. Clinton knew it. The military knew it. Everybody knew what was going on there. This had nothing to do with that stupid YouTube video that they yammered about.
Right.
And the facts are clear. And yet, as best I could tell, and I wasn't able to watch the entirety of the videos, but as best I can tell, Mrs. Clinton is still saying, well, we just gave the best information we had at that time, which is just baloney because she previously admitted that's not what she told either the Egyptians or her own daughter.
And they have the emails now, finally, somehow, hacked into the private server of Clinton to get that.
The bottom line is she lied then.
She's lying now. And if you get it, I want to encourage you, just go watch on YouTube the her facial expressions during this, the utter disdain that she showed, the smirks, it's just ridiculous. And totally, this person wants to be president.
Well, the videos are heavily edited, so we can't rely on those.
Speaking of videos, though, we were talking off the air, and I think this is a capital suggestion. Anytime anybody gets in trouble, let's blame it on a YouTube video.
That's right.
I mean, you get a traffic ticket, it's a YouTube video.
Yeah, it may be late, officer.
Yeah. I mean, you're late to work, it was a YouTube video. You did something stupid and your wife's upset at you? No problem. It was a YouTube video. It seems to work, right?
Right.
Ugh.
Oh, speaking of things that are working, Carson's campaign starting to click in Iowa, at least. He's surging in Iowa, finally, and we're kind of seeing this kind of reminiscent of 2012. Once somebody goes up and then they go down, somebody new comes up, and now it's Ben Carson's turn.
He tops
two
Trump.
Polls in two polls, the Q poll, we like to call it because I can't pronounce things. He's leading by 8 points. And in the Des Moines Register Bloomberg Politics poll that just came out, he's leading by 9 points, mostly because of evangelical support. So that's, you know, interesting. In the Q poll, Rubio was third and Cruz was fourth. In the Des Moines Register poll, those guys were flipped. Cruz is third and Rubio is fourth. So I think both of them give a good snapshot of where, you know, where the Iowa caucus goer stands at this moment. Definitely the top four would be Carson, Trump, Cruz, and Rubio. Huckabee is in the Q poll, was actually trailing Jindal. Santorum doesn't seem like he's got a lot of traction. Bush is like stuck at 5% out of all this money he's been spending. He's 5%.
You got to wonder, given the strength that he has in his campaign relative to money and the lack of traction that he's getting, you got to wonder.
He's got, at least in the Q poll, he had one of the worst favorability ratings out of all the candidates, even worse than Donald Trump.
I wonder if they track the dollars that you spend relative to your poll results. And seriously.
I'm sure somebody does.
I mean, it's kind of, you know, and you run the numbers, it's just like, man, we are spending a fortune here and getting nowhere.
Right, right. So it's interesting. Uncle Joe, crazy Uncle Joe. Excuse me, let me be a little more respectful. Vice President Joe Biden.
Okay, this is from CNN. Vice President Joe Biden ended months of intense speculation about his political future on Wednesday with a sudden announcement that he wouldn't seek the presidency, abandoning a dream he's harbored for decades and putting Hillary Clinton in a stronger position to capture the Democratic
nomination. I'm sure she breathed a huge sigh of relief.
Well, I tell you who had to be disappointed. And that would be Bernie Sanders.
Oh, I know.
I mean, that guy had to just cry tears.
Because hey, I don't think head to head, I don't think Biden would beat Clinton, but I think he could pull enough voters away to have Sanders sneak in there. Right now, as it looks, it's probably because I just got word. I can't think of his name now. The former governor of Rhode Island,
Lincoln Chafee.
I believe he just pulled out.
He did.
And then of course Jim Webb pulled out. It's probably going to run as an independent, which it's still, Jim Webb seems to be more conservative than even some of our Republican candidates. So I was trying to figure out why he was running as a Democrat anyway.
Jim Webb's a dinosaur. Jim Webb's the kind of guy that my dad would have voted
for.
He's
blue dog Democrat, if there is such a thing anymore.
He's a fossil.
Yeah. Last thing, Paul Ryan for Speaker. We asked Ted Cruz and Bobby Jindal what they thought. Listeners
neither
think.
One of them seemed very excited, did they?
No, I can't say I am. I mean, I liked him as vice presidential candidate. He's a very likable guy. He's very dynamic, young.
The guy's a policy wonk. He understands the issues relative to legislation. Sharp, sharp guy. I think the big concern with him amongst conservatives is this is a guy that's going to be too prepared to compromise, to move forward, you know, with governing as opposed to taking a hard line.
Yeah. And Ryan Les, he set out a series of conditions before he would run, like unity among all the House Republican conferences, warring factions. And it looks like, for the most part, he's probably going to get it. So I think he's going to be
the next speaker.
I'd be shocked if his candidacy was derailed. Anyway, that's your news rundown. We actually made it through. Amazing.
That's impressive.
It is. We're very impressed with us. We hope that you are as well. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's that time of year, cooler weather, colored leaves, and family gatherings. Gatherings like Thanksgiving are designed to celebrate the many blessings, but for you, it brings added stress. I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Conflict during the holidays is very common, despite the idea that family is supposed to be that cure-all for all political, religious, and personality differences. But in reality, regardless of blood or marriage, there are relationships that are strained. And in some respect, they're strained simply because they're family. expectations, and the impact of unresolved conflict have greater intensity when it comes to family. It might be tempting to skip the gathering in order to avoid that annoying aunt or that insensitive in-law, or you can get equipped with a biblical strategy. Please check out our Peaceful Holidays page on our website at crosswalkcounseling.org or give us a call at Crosswalk Ministries, 515-635-5465.
Hey, Des Moines, have you heard? Everything you need for personal protection and self-defense is now here. Whether it's the next piece of gear, training, or a day at the range, it's all available at Iowa's premier indoor shooting range, Crossroads Shooting Sports. The indoor climate control range features 17 lanes up to 25 yards in distance. The Pro Shop has gear for men and women and training classes for basic and advanced skill levels. For self-defense and personal protection for your home and family, go to crossroadsshooting.com. That's crossroadsshooting.com, crossroadsshooting.com. And we are thrilled to have Crossroads Shooting Sports as a sponsor for Caffeinated Thoughts Radio and the Truth Network 99.3 FM.
And we have a conference coming up.
Right. And we want to talk about this so badly, we're getting rid of Brian's favorite segment this week.
Yeah, we're postponing You Can't Make This Stuff Up because we wanted to put a shameless plug in for the 2015 Caffeinated Thoughts briefing.
Right, right. So basically, hopefully you're all aware that this is happening next Saturday, October 31st, at the Ramada Inn and Conference Center on Merle Hay Road, not the one next to the airport, okay, on Merle Hay Road from 9:30 to 5:30. Write this down. Hopefully you got a piece of paper handy. Go to ctbriefing2015.com. You can get registered online. You can also, if you need to do this, you can also just register at the door. However, we can only guarantee you a meal if you register online, which this does include a free meal. We're asking $20, but since you are a Truth listener, if you use promo code TRUTH, you'll get 50% off, and you don't want to miss this. This is a great deal for a great conference because
it is indeed.
We have a lot of great speakers. It's all great.
And the lunch is going to be good, too.
Yes, it is.
I'm told it's some sort of barbecue buffet or something like
I'm excited. Yeah, when I heard about that, my mouth started watering. It's like awesome. I'll probably slobber on myself.
This is a cool venue, too. Shane and I went and had a look at it here recently. It's a very nice venue, and this is going to be an outstanding conference. You're just about to talk about the speakers we got.
Right. Well, we had one on that we interviewed, Governor Jindal. He's going to be coming. He's going to be speaking, and of course, everybody should be aware of him. He's a Republican candidate for president. We actually are blessed to have three candidates speaking at this event. Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee will also be present, and he will be coming and sharing, talking about how he worldview and policy, and how that meshes kind of with our worldview and policy ideas. Rick Santorum will also be coming as well, and all three of these gentlemen are friends of Caffeinated Thoughts.
They sure are.
Governor Huckabee, full disclosure, I endorsed him in 2008. Rick Santorum, we endorsed in 2012.
Yes, we did.
Jindal, somebody we're looking at, we'll be making an endorsement, official endorsement in November.
We're assuming that we will. That presupposes we're both going to be in agreement.
Of the same mind, yeah. Yes. Yes. So it will either be making individual endorsements or a Caffeinated Thoughts endorsement in November.
Listen, this is going to be a great conference. This is a policy discussion. It's unlike an awful lot of other events that you may attend. This one, we're going to get down in the weeds and talk about things that are relevant with respect to action
right.
that we can take.
Right. And I just also want to make sure, Pastor Rafael Cruz, another person we interviewed was Ted Cruz. This is his dad. He's coming to speak. He's a well-known speaker in his own right. Mike Ferris of Homeschool Legal Defense Association, Lee Heeb, former libertarian candidate for governor and kind of a Obamacare expert, Myself, I know that's the huge draw. Everybody wants to come hear me.
That's why they're all coming.
Yeah, and then you. And then the next is Brian. Brian, everybody definitely wants to come hear Brian. So, Faith McDonald with Institute of Religion and Democracy. This is brought to you in part by American Principle Project, as well as Myers and Associates.
Who are those guys?
Yeah, those are. We're grateful for those sponsors. Thanks for listening. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Take care, everybody.
We'll see you next week.
Des Moines, have you heard? Everything you need for personal protection and self-defense is now here. Crossroads Shooting Sports. Whether it's the next piece of gear, training, or a day at the range, it's all available at Iowa's premier indoor shooting range. The indoor climate control range features 17 lanes up to 25 yards in distance. The Pro Shop has gear for men and women and training classes for basic and advanced skill levels. Go to crossroadsshooting.com for self-defense and personal protection for your home and family. That's crossroadsshooting.com.